Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. I hope you've had a really good week so far. What have you been up to? Are you feeling well rested? How's your energy? I want to know all the things. So don't forget, pop over onto Instagram at Tanessa Shears and come tell me what's going on with you. I'd love to meet you and talk to you. But today I'm excited because I am releasing episode 2 in this new series that I've been doing called The Return. Now, if you haven't listened to the first episode, you can still listen to this one, but I would definitely recommend going back. It was released episode number 52 on July 12th of this year. This is a series that I am really excited about, and it is inspired by the return that I'm going to be going through on my journey back to peak physical health, peak mental performance, focus, clarity, energy, all of that. And it's going to cover the journey that I'm going to be going through over the next year as I get my brain working back again and my body back into the shape. And I'm going to be using all of the exact techniques that I use with my clients and on myself to create highly productive days. And I want to feel really good, right? And the reason I'm doing this is because I am, in 2 days from now, I guess I'm 10 and a half weeks postpartum. So I'm working on finding my groove, finding my routine, getting my health habits back. Because if you are in a situation right now where you haven't worked out in a while, you're not eating as well as you like, maybe your sleep's getting a little crazy, this return series is meant to show you how I am rebuilding my health and wellness from the ground up. Because honestly, in the last trimester of my pregnancy, I had such intense hip and pelvic pain that I wasn't really walking more than a couple thousand steps per day. I was eating probably more cookies than I'd like to admit. And the hip pain was keeping me up at night. My sleep was disrupted. I just wasn't feeling my best and living my best. So I have made it my mission to share the layering effect of the habits that I'm going to be bringing in. Like, what am I bringing in one small thing at a time? Because one of the interesting things that I find when I look out into the health space is, well, all of us entrepreneurs, we're so busy building our businesses that we forget about our health, and we have it worked up in our head that it's this big thing to get healthy again. Like, I gotta have all this time and put aside all this energy, and there's all these things to do. But I wanna show you that as an entrepreneur with a 2-month-old baby and a 2-year-old, that I am figuring it out, and it's not always going to work, but I am building my habits from the ground up, and I want to inspire you to do it alongside me. Maybe you do your own return journey. Maybe you choose some of the habits I do and you toss some of the other ones. I want it to be your process and for you to see that my vision for my health and my wellness, it's in decades. I don't think about, what am I going to look like next week? How much weight am I going to lose? How clear is my brain going to be by the end of the month? Like, I really want you to see that my consistency and my success is going to be built through my willingness to wait on that result. Now, I have 2 free resources that I want to give you if you're doing your own return journey. So here's what you're going to do. I want you to jump over to Instagram at Tanessa Shears, message me the word return, and I'm going to give you the habit checklist that I am working through. Like, these are literally the things that I'm going to be building into my health over time so you can see what I'm looking at. And they're all in different categories for optimizing my brain and my body and how I feel. There are habits in movement. There's habits in food. There's habits in stress. There's habits in sleep. So if you want to get that free Becoming Limitless habit list and swipe all of my top health habits for optimization, jump over to my Instagram and message me the word return. Now, if you're like, how the heck can I track this? Then you're going to love this. I also have created what I'm calling the return. It's a printable Google Sheet or like a habit tracker. So if you've been following me on Instagram, you'll see that I have been using it, checking off the days I've done each of the habit. It's holding me accountable. It's visible. I can see my progress. It's motivating. If you want a free copy of this, just DM me the word tracking. So return if you want the habit list, tracking if you want the printable, or if you want both of them, just let's talk. Come say hi. I have all the goodies there for you so that you have success in this return process. Now, since I am only 11 weeks postpartum, this basically means that I have been doing this return journey since June 7th, or 1 week postpartum. So I've been at it for 10 weeks now. And one of the things I found in the beginning was I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I've got two small kids. What if I don't have the time? What if I have to sacrifice my business? Like all of these thoughts, like I just doubt that I could, you know, bring my health back to where it was. What if this takes so long? So I'm gonna share with you one of the exercises that I used it a lot during that first month, but I have been using it a little less ever since because I've built so much trust with myself. Now, one of the things that we really need to get good at if we're wanting to become consistent with our health is doing what we said we were going to do, right? When we make agreements with ourselves, we need to be really good at honoring them. So when you say you're going to do something, you have your own back and you do it. One of the worst ways to, I guess, build that relationship with yourself is say, I'm going to exercise 3 times this week and then you don't do it. What you teach yourself is that you can't trust yourself. You're breaking internal agreements, and that not only depletes your discipline and your motivation, but it really teaches yourself that you can't trust yourself and it beats down self-worth. So, when I was starting, and remember, I'm going to go through the habits that I started with at the beginning as well, but I asked myself this one question every single morning when I got out of bed. I asked myself, how can I build self-trust with myself today? And I only focused on today and not a week and not a month and not a year. How can I build self-trust with myself today? Because if I build trust with myself, I know I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And that is the foundation for consistency. That is the foundation for discipline. And this question, I honestly credit to why everything went so smoothly in that first month and why it's been smooth ever since. And specifically, I picked one of the habits to get really good at building trust with. So on June 7th, that is when we began 30 days. We cut out sugar, and I'm talking like added sugar, donuts, cupcakes, cookies, all of those kind of things, right? So when I woke up in the morning and I asked, how can I build self-trust with myself today? Here was my answer. I am not going to eat sugar today because I gotta tell you, it was really tough. I found that I'm a habitual sugar eater. So I used to put my daughter down for a nap at 1 o'clock. This is when I was pregnant. And I used to have like an hour and a half to myself, quiet, nobody to take care of, no work to do. I used to read or watch, you know, Housewives or something like that. And I used to eat cookies. And there was just this bond I had with that moment, and it was so emotional. So I felt that I really had to fight myself and watch my thinking every day at that time. But I just said to myself, how am I going to build trust today? I'm not going to eat sugar today. So when that time came at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and I really wanted to eat that sugar, I just told myself, just today, I'm building trust with myself today. I am going to do what I said I was going to do. And I'm building self-trust today. And every day for 30 days, I did that. And I developed that relationship with myself again where I was like, hey, when I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I'm that kind of person. Look at the discipline I've developed. I've become so consistent with just asking myself that one question. So whether you are 6 weeks into your return journey, 6 months, or it's day one today, I want you to ask, how can I build self-trust today, answer it, and then just follow through on that one thing and build that relationship with yourself. So let's jump into giving you a little bit of a review of where we started and what we've been working on. So my goal was not only to get down to my pre-baby weight, but I didn't want it to be a focus on weight necessarily. I wanted it to be a focus on feeling strong, and I wanted to feel clear and energized again, right? I did take weight into account because that's obviously something I wanted to see what has happened. So when I started 1 week postpartum, I was 12.2 pounds above, we're going to call it target weight, because what I weigh actually doesn't matter. So I want you to take just these numbers and you can just kind of see how they fluctuated with the things that I've been working on. So on June 7th, I was 12.2 pounds above target weight. What I was working on for the first part of the return was I did 30 days of no sugar that began on June 7th. The reason I started with that is because my sleep was being interrupted by waking up with a baby all the time. And as you learned on last week's podcast, being up during the night affects your blood sugar and your insulin and your hormones. So I really wanted to make sure that I was doing the best I could with all the controllable factors with my body. So by cutting out sugar, I was helping to make my blood sugar a lot more stable. So I completed 30 days of no sugar. It was fantastic. We actually also started doing a couple other things during the what I call phase one of the return. I got meal planning and grocery shopping back on the list. We were doing it bi-weekly. We were experimenting with that. That has worked really well. I booked all my physio appointments to address getting me back to my base level of health and performance. I also aimed for a minimum of 7 hours of sleep per day. So that included naps as well to help make up for all the craziness at night. And then on June 28th, so 3 weeks after I started, I went back to physio, and my goal was to do those exercises 4 to 5 times a week. So between June 7th and July 18th, so that's about, I think it's about 5.5 or 6 weeks. During that phase, that is all that I worked on. Literally no sugar. I did meal planning and grocery shopping every other week. I booked my physio appointments and started, and I just focused on getting a cumulative 7 hours of sleep per night. So notice how small those things are, right? So eventually, when I got through all that phase, and right before I did the last podcast episode, which would have been the first episode of the return, that would have been on July 18th, where I started this next phase of my journey. So when I started this next phase on July 18th, I was only 7.4 pounds above my target weight, which means that since I started the return, I dropped 4.8 pounds. In 5.5 weeks. I was pretty happy with that, even though I wasn't at all focused on weight loss, because I know so much of that can be determined by getting good sleep and more of what we're eating and hormones and being postpartum and breastfeeding. But I just kind of wanted to give you a frame of reference. So started at 12.2 pounds above, but literally just by not eating sugar, doing grocery shopping, doing my physio exercises, and minimum of 7 hours of sleep per night, I dropped 4.8 pounds. So I was really excited. So phase two is really what today's episode's about. It's about what have I been working on since then, all right? So what did I add next? So when we wrapped up our 30 days of no sugar, I was like, cool, now I'm just gonna work on eating whole foods, right? But my husband was like, you know what? Let's do no sugar and no flour for another 30 days. And we had only really taken, it was somewhere between 7 and 10 days off, like just enough time to have a couple summer barbecues, have some hot dogs and stuff like that. But we were really excited about working together on this and optimizing kind of how we feel. So on July 18th, literally right after we finished 30 days of no sugar, we went into no sugar and no flour. And in our house, we take out all types of flour. So we don't just do like wheat flour, we take out all kinds of rice flour, tapioca starch, all of it. So we just really like to go think things like rice. I mean, I've done a whole podcast episode called No Sugar, No Flour, What the Heck Do I Eat? I highly recommend listening to that one if you're like, what do you eat then? Because there was tons of food to eat. So like I said, I added it because my husband really wanted to do it. And I gotta tell you, doing this no sugar, no flour after already doing 30 days of no sugar was, it almost felt natural. It was so easy. And it's interesting when I tell people like, oh, no sugar and no flour, not only do they think, what the heck do you eat? But they say like, oh my gosh, that's so restrictive. Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't find it restrictive at all. And if the way I'm eating, if one person looks at it and says that's restrictive and one person doesn't, then we know that it's not actually the style of eating that's restrictive. It's our thoughts about it that make it feel restrictive. Because I want to tell you something. So if you've known about the progression of my business over time, you'll know that for 2 years, I think 2017, 2018, I focused very heavily on weight loss coaching. And one of the things that I talked about quite often was food freedom, right? We often think that like, oh, if I eat healthy and I don't eat junk food and if I, you know, keep all my food really clean, then I will just, you know, magically feel great about everything I'm eating and it'll be great. And then I'll just eat only healthy food. But I honestly think that that's just clean eating jail. Like, if you are thinking about what you're eating all the time, is this healthy? Should I eat this? I'm doing a challenge. If you have these type of thoughts, that is food jail. So one of the things I love to teach my clients is this real concept that I call food freedom. And that is not thinking about food at all. Meaning all of that time and energy that you spent thinking about calories or grams of protein or your weight, all of that time and energy, you go think about other things. And you know what I like to give that time and energy to? My family and my business. Like, if I'm not preoccupied with what I'm putting on my plate every 5 seconds, I give all that energy to my business. And the energy that I have created from eating so well, on top of all that space I've created in my brain, that's where I really find I get the most productivity. And that is where I am now. Like, given that we're like, 10 weeks into this, I am at a place now of true food freedom again. And I can tell you that I was not there 10 weeks ago. I was preoccupied with food, thinking when I was going to get my next sugar fix, that I had to start overhauling everything, that it was going to be hard, that I was going to be missing out, that I would have to say no to things. Like, this is where my mindset was just 10 weeks ago. But I got to tell you now, in the place that I am, it's just, food is just fuel for me. And when it goes on my plate, there are plenty of vegetables. There's a source of protein. There's fat. There is carbs that are not processed. So I'm getting things like rice or quinoa or potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, I really feel grounded. And there is this interesting thing that I noticed my brain feeling lately, and it is well-being. So we are used to very intense pleasure from food, meaning like we eat a box of cookies or a slice of cake or chocolate or chips, and we get this intense emotional feeling of like, oh, that's so good. I deserve this. This makes me feel so good. And it is so intense, but it is so short-lived, and you are dealing with the repercussions of that, both physically, if you feel bloated or exhausted or tired or brain fog, and emotionally, why do I keep doing this to myself? Like, I want to do better, but I keep going back. Oh my gosh, that conversation. It is that intense pleasure followed by the negative after effect. But what I have been noticing since I eliminated that conversation with myself and have really found food freedom again, I noticed I feel well-being. And I like to think about well-being as subtle hits of pleasure and well-being that last all day. So instead of having that huge rush when I eat cookies and then a crash after and then trying to get back on track and then constantly berating myself, I just have been feeling good. And I've noticed, I've said this to my husband a couple times, I have never felt healthier in my life than I have right now. And I just love the way I'm eating. And I would never trade this feeling of just health and well-being for any amount of garbage food in the world. I've just looked at it so differently. So I'd really like to encourage you that maybe food freedom for you isn't finding this maintenance mode or, you know, achieving healthy eating, but maybe it's this freedom in which all that brain power you gave to food can go somewhere else. So that is where I am now. We are actually, it's in 2 days from now, we'll be finishing this no sugar and no flour 30-day challenge. And this is a feeling I really want to hold on to. So at the end of this podcast, I'm going to kind of give you an idea of where I'm going next, but I kind of also want to let you know where I am now. Okay, so that was the no sugar and no flour challenge. The next thing I did over the last, 6 weeks, I think, is I went from consistently sleeping 7 hours per day to 7.5 hours of sleep per night consistently. And my goal was to hit this 7 times a week. And I think in the last 30 days, I have only missed 4 days where I have not gotten that amount of sleep at night. And this is with a newborn waking up. So what this meant for me is that I really needed to look at being consistent with the time I went to bed and the time I woke up and spending more time in bed so that I felt really good. And like I said, 3 of those 4 days that I missed were literally because the baby was up so many times that I just could not get 7.5 hours of consecutive sleep, or maybe I couldn't fall back asleep because she woke up at like 4:30 and it was almost wake up time. Only one of those misses was within my control. And I honestly blame the book I was reading. It's so good. I actually just finished it last night. I was reading a book by Colleen Hoover called Reminders of Him. Oh, such a good book. 5 stars. If you are a romance, like a fiction romance reader, so good, so worth it. Colleen Hoover, Reminders of Him. Anyways, so I hit that so consecutively. And the interesting thing, what I actually found was that my average sleep was between, it was really weird. I would say on like at least half of the nights, I got between 8 hours and 8 hours and 10 minutes of sleep. Like it was exceptionally consistent. So why did I add this extra half an hour when I was consistently getting 7 hours before? Well, one, my baby started sleeping a little more consistently. So she only wakes up once a night now, which is fantastic. Two is that I found that 7 hours was not enough. Like I had definitely felt better than before when my sleep was in the 6 hour range, but I wasn't at that clarity level that I have known from myself in the past. And I knew that if I could just get half an hour more, I could experiment with it. So yeah, while I experimented with 7.5, I found that my body settled right back into that sweet spot range of mine, which is about 7 hours and 50 minutes to just past 8 hours, mostly of it being past 8 hours. But I feel so much more energized during the day. So that is the next step that I've worked on. And notice this, I just added half an hour. So if you are not getting much sleep right now, what about just adding 30 minutes? Or if that seems too much, add 15. I want you to notice how small I progress it, right? Okay, so the next thing I added during this last phase was I got the green flag to work out from my physio, but I wasn't allowed to do very much. All I'm allowed to do, and still currently as we record today, I'm only allowed to go for walks, I'm only allowed to do upper body strength, and I'm allowed to do spin as long as I keep my bum on the seat the entire time. And this has a lot to do with the type of physiotherapy that I'm doing, but I do see her on Thursday and maybe I will be allowed to, you know, stand up on the bike or do some lower body, but those are the things I'm allowed to do. So what I told myself was, okay, my first goal I'm going to set with my workouts is I am going to commit to working out for 20 minutes only 3 times a week. That's it. Super easy to do, 20 minutes. Now, why I added it back? Well, because I wanted to get back. Like part of my goal was not only feeling good in my body and my energy and my head and looking good in my clothes, but I really wanted to get back to this feeling I had when I used to do like really intense sprints and really heavy lifts, getting really sweaty, feeling accomplished with being able to run at a 12 on the treadmill or, you know, do a heavy squat. Like these are things I really wanted to get back to. And I know to do that, I have to start strength training. So I wanted to start adding that back in and getting consistent before I started adding on lots of weight, right? And one thing that I noticed when I started going back to exercise was all those conversations that used to happen before in my head, they came back. Specifically, you might be finding you're having some of these conversations in your head as well. Like my brain was telling me, walking isn't that enough. That's not good enough to count for one of your workouts. It's not hard enough. It's not sweaty enough. It's not blah, 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 blah. Like my brain came up with every reason why walking shouldn't count as a workout. But that's just silly because two reasons, I'm only allowed to do upper body sitting on a bike and walking. So that really limits what I can do. And two, there's nothing wrong with walking. It is fascinating how much we as a population just don't give walking the credit for our body. It is an impact activity. It is low intensity cardio. It is good for mental health. It is good for managing blood sugar. We really need to recognize walking as physical activity. Is it going to build superior cardio fitness or strength? Probably not. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I love walking, and you're going to hear more about in a bit about all the walking that I've added in, but I definitely noticed that conversation in my head. I also noticed myself not wanting to work out again, but that's nothing new. I've always had that. I mean, I have been teaching fitness since 2008. That's when I started teaching fitness to the public and getting educated and getting my certification. So we're on what now, 14 years. And there has never been a week where I have wanted to do every single workout and push hard the whole time. It just doesn't happen. So I notice those conversations coming up. I'd rather be working. I don't feel like it. This isn't important. I'll just squeeze it in later. I really had to watch that conversation and realize that if I wanted to be consistent, I had to stop listening to that voice and listening to all the complaining of, I don't feel like it. You have to decide. You just don't listen to that as an excuse anymore, right? And the last thing I really noticed over the last month as I started bringing in upper body workouts and walking, I didn't do a lot of spin, to be quite honest, because it's so beautiful out. I wanted to take advantage of being outside. But I noticed this thought. I feel strong. I feel strong. Like, not strong like I used to when I was doing powerlifting, but I feel good in my body. Like, my muscles are working. I feel sore. Like, this is the body I want to be in. I feel strong. And that thought has propelled me to hit those workouts. Now, I'm just looking at my little habit tracker chart here. For the workouts, I have hit 3 workouts a week every single week, and 2 of the weeks I actually worked out 4 times. So by setting 3 times as a minimum, I often found I went past and did a 4th. The other thing I found was that there may have only been like maybe less than half of the workouts that I did 2 or 20 minutes. I usually did 30, 40, 50 minutes, right? I just set the baseline expectation for myself. And if I wanted to do more, wonderful. And if I didn't, that was enough. This is what has helped me get really consistent with working out. You don't need to start with 5 times a week at an hour or hour long workouts or super intense. Just meet yourself where you are at. Everything I'm doing is about developing consistency in small incremental changes. Now, another thing, I guess the last thing I added in during this phase is something called Strike, Stroll, Shiver. And I began it on July 28th, so about 10 days after this last phase happened. And my goal was to do what I call Strike, Stroll, Shiver 5 times per week for 30 days. Now, what is Strike, Stroll, Shiver? I am going to do an entire podcast episode on it. It was an experiment, a biohacking experiment that I did on my body. And I'm going to do a podcast episode about my results and what I learned and what I found and what it is and everything. But to give you a kind of an idea, it's basically you go the whole night without food. So like a food strike, then you wake up, you do some type of low intensity activity that you could easily do every day for a year. So I picked walking, and then shiver. You jump in a cold shower from anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes. So strike, stroll, shiver, meaning fast, get moving, jump in a cold shower. So like I said, goal was 5 times a week for 30 days. So far, I think I am 3.5 weeks into it, or 2.5 weeks into this. I'm on average doing about 6 days a week right now. And why did I add this? Well, it is something that I have found from my biohacking Bible, I call that. That's what I call this giant book that I carry around. It's all the biohacking things you could ever want from biohacker Ben Greenfield. It's his book, and he talks about using Strike, Stroll, Shiver as one of the most effective fat loss tools that he has in his arsenal. And I'm like, sure, let's give it a go, right? So in addition to that, there's a ton of benefits, both for fat loss and just on clarity, sharpness, clear thinking and focus during the day, from being exposed to cold in the morning and helping with alertness and stress resiliency. Like, that's another episode of a podcast. But it's also really helped with my mental health. Like, I have found that getting out, just even if it was for a 10-minute walk in the morning by myself, it's time alone. It's developing that discipline of like putting my feet on the ground and doing what I said I was going to do morning after morning. I'm appreciating the beauty in my neighborhood. I've met so many of my neighbors getting out for 10 minutes in the morning, and I've listened to a ton of podcasts, right? So this Strike, Stroll, Shiver has been a welcome change, and I plan on doing it all the way through to 30 days. And like I said, I began it on July 28th. Today recording is August 15th. So I would say I'm probably about 2.5 weeks in. Now, what I did continue from the first phase is I've committed to doing my physio exercises 4 times a week, because I really want to prioritize my physical health and recovery so that I can work out on a balanced body. I think there was 1 week that I only did it 3 times, but every other week I was committed. I did my exercises 4 times. I'm super excited about that, seeing results, seeing recovery. And the other last thing I continued was my bi-weekly meal planning and prepping. So this is something that has really helped me with the no sugar, no flour, because I always have healthy food ready in the fridge. And by doing it every other week instead of weekly, I've really created a lot of space in my calendar. And I've also planned a lot less, because naturally you plan once, you grocery shop once, and that's it for 2 weeks. So you need to make sure that you're really thinking about what you want to eat ahead of time. And I think that's really helped my success as well. I think the only other thing that I've added, I didn't add it as a goal, but it kind of happened anyways, was every morning, I think I've missed one morning because it was pouring rain, but I go and sit out on my deck for anywhere between 30 minutes and 2 hours most mornings. I bring my computer out there, I work, I answer my messages, I post on Instagram. Like, that's kind of my morning to jump back into my business, and I'm really enjoying it. So what happened over the last phase since we last had our episode, the first episode of The Return? We're now on the second episode. I've been consistently doing the following habits: no sugar and no flour, getting minimum of 7 hours asleep, not time in bed, every single night, working out for 20 minutes at least 3 times a week. I'm doing strike, stroll, shiver. I'm doing my physio exercises, and I am doing bi-weekly meal planning, grocery shopping, and cooking. So this has really, I feel like I'm in my groove. Like I said, I feel like this is the healthiest I've ever been, which is a cool thing to feel only like 11 weeks postpartum. But as of today, I am only 1.4 pounds away from my target weight, which is, I'm calling it the weight I was before I got pregnant last September. So I'm super excited about that. So since the last episode, I've dropped another 6 pounds. So I was 12.2 pounds above target weight when we started The Return. At the end of last episode, I was 7.4 pounds away, and now I am only 1.4 pounds away. So it's kind of cool to see. I've lost about 11 and a half pounds in about 10 weeks, and I'm super excited about that. But it's averaging about a pound a week, which is cool. But the weird thing is I put a photo of myself now next to a photo of myself at this weight pre-pregnancy, and it's so fascinating. I look so different. My body, I can see a big difference. And what that tells me is I've lost a lot of muscle, because I basically could not do any lower body workouts during the entire pregnancy because of the pelvic pain, right? So I lost a ton of muscle. So while I am pretty much at my target weight, I'm not at my target goal. So what this next phase is shifting into is going to be working on developing my muscle mass and my strength. So I've gotten the body fat reasonably low. I probably have a little bit more to go. Now I'm working on getting strong. So I want to build back that muscle. I'm going to physio in a couple days. I hope I can get back to my lower body workouts. If not, that's fine. It'll happen eventually. But for now, I am going to focus on strength training. So what's next in this journey? Like I said, focusing on strength training. I'm going to keep my goal of 3 workouts, 20 minutes, because right now in the phase of motherhood I am, and with my business and all of this, this is what I have time for. I am consistent. If I want to do more, great. If I want to set more aggressive goals in the future, I will. But right now I want to keep it the same, because consistency is more important to me than fast results, because consistency will create results, where sometimes fast results just kind of ends up in temporary results, and then you end up going back. And I don't want that, right? I'm going to continue physio, because what I've found is that one of my hip bones is tilted forward and the other is not. I'm rehabbing my pelvic floor. That all needs to be, you know, fully ready to go. Sleep, I'm actually going to keep my goal exactly as it is. I want to keep going forward with 7.5 hours of sleep. I can't control if my baby wakes up in the night, but I feel like everything else I'm doing is optimized and sleep is good. Strike, stroll, shiver. When we get to the end of 30 days, I kind of think my intention right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue those morning walks, just even those 10-minute walks. I'm going to keep going with those at least 5 days a week. I love them. I will keep the showers. I think I'm going to do the cold showers. I'm going to aim for 3 times a week going forward at a minimum. You're going to get an update on what I kept and what I didn't when I do the return challenge next, because I'm not quite at the end of 30 days for most of these. So I'm going to be reassessing, and you'll get the full scoop on our next episode of The Return. Food, what I'm going to be doing is I haven't decided yet, but I'm either going to go to 1 day every 2 weeks with sugar and flour, or 1 day every 2 weeks with just sugar, because I did one with just just eliminating sugar. Now I want to do one with just eliminating flour. I want to see what has been making me feel so good, whether I do have some type of gluten intolerance or I don't. So I'm experimenting to find out. But one thing we definitely are implementing going forward is we have been experimenting with higher quality meat. So we're doing grass-fed, grass-finished beef. We've changed to free-run chicken over the last month. This is honestly, like I said, a whole nother podcast on this, but that was something that was actually on my list of things I wanted to work on. So we've started implementing that slowly. And then things that are coming up on the horizon, if you're kind of just, I want you to get inside my head and see what habits I have my eyes on. So I really want to do a tech detox. So that means no phones, no computers, no anything unless it is specifically work-related within very targeted boundaries of time, meaning I can use it between this time and this time when I'm at work, but I don't pick up my phone any other time. So that's on my horizon. I want to learn some more about breath work. When I'm done breastfeeding, I want to try a bit more with fasting. It's just not something I'm comfortable doing while I'm breastfeeding. And I also want to have my cycle back because it matters where you are in your cycle, whether you're fasting or not. And lastly, I really want to work on doing some non-sleep deep rest. It's a type of relaxation for the body. Specifically, I've been looking at yoga nidra. So that is where we are on the return. We have dropped over 11 pounds so far since we've started. I'm 1.4 pounds above my target weight, which is super exciting. I'm feeling more healthy, better well-being than I have in any recent memory. I'm noticing I'm feeling strong again. My brain is clear. My energy is back. Like, I'm feeling really good. And I want you guys to recognize how small these changes are that I have done and how much I have been layering on small things. This is doable. And I'm still looking at a one-year time horizon until I am at that place that I have in my brain. So I hope this has been inspiring for you. Like I said, if you want to get my Becoming Limitless habit list, all the different things I'm working towards over the next year, the things I'm going to be layering in, jump onto my Instagram, you know, DM me the word return, I'll send you that. But if you want the printable, the tracking sheet that you can either, you know, use on your computer, you can print out and stick in your bathroom like I did, you know, check off when you did the habits each day, you can message me the word tracking. Or if you want both of those, definitely, I'll give you both. They're free. They're not even behind an opt-in. You just DM me and I will send them directly to you. And yeah, so that is where we are on the return. So I'll probably do another episode. I'm thinking every 6 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks seems like a really good amount of space in between. If you didn't catch the first episode, I will leave it in the show notes or the description, whatever you want to call it. But I hope you are feeling inspired and knowing that change is possible. It doesn't have to be crazy. You can do it and it can work for you. I'm so excited. Tell me all about your return journey. Come say hi on Instagram at Tanessa Shears. Don't be shy. I'll be there waiting to hear your message. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week. Bye. Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met, you are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.